Robert Frost was the most celebrated American poet of his day. He extolled the virtues of the rural life in northern New England and the people who lived it. He was also a Christmas lover. And for nearly 30 years, Robert Frost sent his friends and supporters what were probably the most ornate and unique Christmas cards they ever received. Not surprisingly, this tradition started with a poem. It's called Christmas Trees.
The city had withdrawn into itself and left at last the country to the country. When between whirls of snow not yet come to lie and whirls of foliage not yet laid, there drove a stranger to our yard who looked the city, yet did in country fashion, in that there he sat and waited.
The stranger in this poem comes from the city to the narrator's country to look over and possibly buy his stand of balsam firs. This poem caught the imagination of Frost's printer, Joe Blumenthal. That's according to Steve Smith, who recently wrote about the Robert Frost cards for Dartmouth College's alumni office.
And as Joe Blumenthal was working on this poem, he realized that it would make a great Christmas card. So he took it upon himself to make these cards and send them to some of his friends. Robert Frost saw one, and he thought it was great, and he contacted Joe Blumenthal, and they decided to do this in a more organized way.
Now, when, or if, you and I send holiday greetings, they're usually pre-produced and pretty basic. A photo or a drawing on the front, a pre-printed message inside, maybe a handwritten note or a short letter. Frost's cards were anything but basic.
Each of them is about, 3 to 20 pages long. They all have a bound cover, artwork on the cover, and engravings on the cover as well. So they're really beautiful pieces. There's woodcuts of birch trees and hemlocks and hay fields. So the artwork on the cover really communicate the poetry of Robert Frost.
Smith says Frost liked seeing his words take on visual beauty, accompanied and complemented by those woodcuts and engravings. It was, after all, a better view for readers than what those words would get in a regular bound volume. But aesthetics weren't the only things on Frost's mind each December.
Frost was a natural networker, and this was a kind of outgrowth of his impressive networking abilities.
That's poet and novelist Jay Perini. He teaches at Middlebury College in Vermont, and he wrote a biography of Robert Frost in the year 2000.
He was immensely popular, but he wanted to create an intimate circle, and this is a way of sort of rewarding those who had stood behind him through the years, colleges where he had professors who would regularly invite him to give readings. And you were special if you got on his list to receive an original Frost Christmas card signed by Robert Frost.
Essentially, Perini says New England's most legendary poet was doing what insurance agents, dental offices, and mechanics do with their cards every year. A little branding. Saying something along the lines of, thanks for your business. That said, Perini adds, Frost always made sure the poetry came first.
Once, in fact, he had a poem that really didn't fit a Christmas theme. It was a summer poem. And so he only once waited 6 months to send out his Christmas card in July. And so suddenly everybody got a Christmas card from Frost. In the middle of July, he called it Half Christmas.
Robert Frost sent these Christmas or Half Christmas cards to friends and supporters nearly every year from 1934 until his death in the early 1960s. Oh, and as for the poem Christmas Trees, the poem that led to the cards in the first place, the narrator thinks over that city stranger's offer. It works out to 3 cents a tree and decides, nah.
1,000 Christmas trees I didn't know I had. With 3 cents more to give away than sell, as may be shown by a simple calculation. Too bad I couldn't lay one in a letter. I can't help wishing I could send you one, in wishing you herewith a Merry Christmas.
Words truly fit for a Christmas card. For NHPR News, I'm Brady Carlson. Merry Christmas.